Nail or beauty school was just the beginning, right? What on earth do you do now? Welcome to the Salon Success Podcast with Monaco Nail Academy. Our topics stretch beyond nails and into all things salon related, business, marketing, and social media, and at the very least hits you with real, honest stories about our experiences. This isn't school, this is real life, real business, and really freaking hard work. Before we get started, wherever you are, thumbs up, tag a friend in the comments, or hit that share button and support small business. Hey guys, Penny here from Monaco Nail Academy, and today I am joined by Mel.
Hi.
And Moose.
Hi.
And we have Pat here now too.
Hi.
So same team from last week, but with the addition of Pat, who slept through last week's episode. Did you have a good sleep in last week's episode, Pat?
I had a great sleep. I only ended up getting into bed because my dog woke me up because she's terrified that my husband and I hate each other. Anytime I'm not sleeping in the bed, mommy, mommy, please come to bed. Don't leave my daddy, because she's a child of divorce, poor dog. And that she lives in fear that we will split up. But she knows she's going to go to her dad if we do. So I don't know what her problem is.
That's so cute.
Just a reminder before we get started too, guys, you can use my code, which is JungleNailsNZ, and you'll get 10% off any course enrollments with Monaco. I do get a kickback from these enrollments, and that's how we support the production of these podcasts.
And Pat also has a code if you guys want to fight to the death over it.
Ooh, do we have to fight to the death? I don't have a sword. I can use my phone. You gotta bring out your phone now. We're gonna fight to the death.
Boom. Mel just has to wait for you to nap, and then she wins.
She wins out immediately. My code is PATSITIVE. Short, well, it's like positive, but with PAT. You get it? PATSITIVE.
I get
10% it. 10% off.
And Moose is going to learn from this and get an affiliate code.
Yeah, it's on the list.
It's not even that hard.
Really not.
So before we get stuck into a new topic, last week we were talking about business names. And since Pat had a nap instead, Pat, do you want to give us a super brief rundown on how you came to name your business and any like struggles or weird comments? They were my favorite parts that you got from people about the name of your business.
Totally. Okay, so I got really stuck on the name of my business for ages, you know, because everyone seems to have Nails by Blank, Beauty by Blank. And I was like, should I do what everyone else is doing? And I was having a brain fart. And then I thought, well, I have this forgotten about project from years ago. I'm just going to revive the name. So it's Patsitive, because everyone says I'm super positive and my name is Pat. Patsitive. But oftentimes people don't realize that's what it is. So people start pronouncing it wrong. They're like, Patsitive. And I'm like, maybe I should say my name more when I'm introducing myself. Like, hi, it's Patsitive Beauty. Get it? Pat? Pat? That's my
name.
Okay,
but my last name is Lawler, LAWLER. Two syllables. One is a real word, law. One of them is pretty easy, lur. And I get so many people look at my name like, la, la, how do you say it? La, lawyer? Laula? It's, guys, come on. It's, so there's no hope. We covered this last week. There's no hope.
Okay, you're so no matter what, people will get the name wrong.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. I'm Patsitivita.
Yeah.
If anyone asks.
Well, half the time when someone calls up and they'll say, Monaco Nail Academy is speaking with Penny, and they go, hey, is Penny there?
I would do that because yeah. I just wouldn't hear the name. I'll be like,
oh. I've had like, oh, hi Jenny, can I please speak with Penny? Honestly, like, we're all
scared. Yeah, hang on, I'll just go get her.
Shall we talk about followers, since we now have names for all of our businesses and therefore hopefully social media accounts and therefore maybe one or two followers? Let me tell you, your number of followers does not matter. After all of that work, we just named our business so that we could have a social media following, and it's irrelevant. Likes, followers, subscribers, it's a vanity metric, if that's a new term to you. It's a measurement that makes you feel good about yourself. So We're not talking about things like engagement, reach, like those are actual really good stats that we want to actually pay attention to. But we today are just talking about likes. The number of likes you have, the number of followers you have, the number of subscribers you have. It's all a vanity metric. It's just something that makes you feel good. If you have 100,000 followers and only 0.5% of them engage, you have 500 people regularly conversing with you on your profile. But if you have 2,000 followers and 25% engagement, you still have 500 people regularly conversing with you on your profile. If you have 0.5% engagement, like the first scenario, the platform will think your content sucks and it's not going to show anybody, which then makes your engagement worse, which then shows less people and you spiral down into oblivion. But if you have 25% engagement, the platform, whichever one, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you are, the platform will think your content must be pretty good because so many people are looking at it. And then it's going to show more people, which makes your engagement better over time, despite the fact that in scenario two, you only have 2,000 followers.
That totally makes sense. I heard someone say on this, I think it was a podcast, but I can't remember which one, that, you know, we make it such a big deal, like, oh my gosh, only 100 people saw my post. And it's like, if 100 people showed up in your living room today, would you think that was a lot of people? And I would say yes, because they wouldn't fit. So hello, that is a lot of 100 clients. If all of them were like, I'm going to book in with you, that is a lot. I don't think I can fit 100 in my week because I can't be bothered.
Also, I would hate to fit 100. Like if I named 100 people that I know, I don't want to talk to them all. The thing as well, like followers do not equal bookings. Like a follower that doesn't engage is no different than a cold audience member. And if you don't know what I'm talking about with cold audiences, you can go and enroll in Salon Success. But it's no different than a cold audience member. A follower that doesn't engage is warm, and then you can easily transfer them into a booking. So like just because you have someone following your account doesn't mean they're going to book in. Someone engaging with your account is way more likely to book in. So again, followers don't actually matter. Like if you think about like influencers and stuff, some brands will only sponsor accounts that have a minimum number of followers. But the thing is that any actual reputable brand that is looking to sponsor accounts won't be looking at that. They'll be looking at like shares and comments and like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know followers are a vanity metric, but I think it is a bit difficult because like it is quite easy to be vain and to look at your followers and be like, and like have judgments on it. And then that can like make it difficult. But yeah, I think it's important to kind of change up how you're looking at it, because yeah, it even though it feels good to get followers, there are just other things that are going to be more helpful.
Like sometimes people will sponsor or boost posts or whatever just to get page likes. Like that's one of the things that you can choose from, is to do an ad for page likes. But that's just spending money. It's just vanity. Like if you actually get somebody to book, like you should be focusing on doing the thing that gets people to book.
Totally. Yeah, I think you need like, you really need to focus on making good content that interests people.
Yeah.
And I think like if people engage enough, they're gonna follow anyway.
Or they don't need to, because yeah, they're seeing your content.
And they've already booked, and hopefully you're getting them to rebook every 2 weeks.
But like we all know that if we sit around our phones and start talk, like if you hit like on one video, you're now going to every second video is going to be that. Like my entire Facebook Reels feed thing, whatever it is just Taylor Swift concert videos now, because I liked one. And honestly, I'm not mad about it. But also the other day with PMS, I sat and cried to like her mid-show talking bits for like an hour. But like you don't even have to follow these days, because the algorithm is going to show people your content anyway. The second that they hit like, whether or not they follow you is irrelevant. And it's annoying as the viewer, because you hit like on one thing and now all you see is that thing. Like there's an Australian girl that's doing heaps of stuff on TikTok at the moment, and I don't know her name, but like you would all have seen her. But she's everywhere, and I don't really like her that much. I just watched one of her videos once because like curiosity, and now she's all I see in between my Taylor Swift videos. So
people can also like just, you know, you can just log on and you want to go and look for something, and you start looking, like you might be looking for a photographer for your wedding, for example, and so you go scrolling, and then you don't have to follow them or like them to actually book in. So you book in, and then like I do not follow my wedding videographer or photographer because I was like, I don't need you anymore, but I did pay you, so that should be good enough. And I have, you know, like I gave you money, I'm sure that's worth more than my life. And on the other hand, with me, like I was just posting on stories and somebody came and commented. They didn't follow me, but they were like, can I book in with you? Which was like, okay, random person, come on. So, you know, and then we never interacted again. But that's fine. I will work on the follow through next time. So it's okay.
With Carl, my partner, with his business, he has an IT business, Tyra IT Services. And like I help him with all the social media for that. We have no followers. Like, I mean, I don't know how many we have, but we post and then we share it into local community groups. And then those shared parts, that's what gets engagement. And you want there to be an account because we do paid ads from it, or like people will look it up to get his contact details. But generally the actual post doesn't get that much engagement because like, why would you follow an IT business? Like when we're posting, we try and make it fairly interesting. Like we do silly little stories about like if Steve's annoying you with the TV remote, like let us sort this like alternate, whatever. I don't know. Like we make little scenarios and try and make it entertaining, but I wouldn't follow it. But then the thing is that we get so many people saying the reason they booked him is because of his social media, and we've got no followers, but we get literally like a few times a week someone will say to him like, oh, whoever is doing your social media, like it's so good, it's so funny, it's how I noticed you, it's how I knew you were there. So another more proof that followers don't freaking matter.
Also, that's kudos for you, give yourself a pat on the back.
thanks so much. I just think that, like, I mean, if you ask me, and no one did, but I think engagement is the most important metric, followed by reach. And reach is the number of unique views a post has had, as opposed to, there's also impressions, which gets all confusing in the back end, but impressions could be the same person seeing the post over and over and over again. So a reach of 100 is 100 individual humans. The impressions of 100 could be one person seeing a post 100 times, or 25 people seeing it 4 times each, or 50 people seeing it twice each. But like impressions is, I mean, it's pretty good because you're getting more exposure to the same person, but like, I don't know. I think engagement number one, reach second, because there's also other, like when you get dig right into the stats, like videos on Facebook, views are counted in 1, 3, and 10 second blocks. You have to like dig all the way down to find it. But what you really care about is like a 10 second view. When you're looking at stats overall, like a 1 second view just includes people who scrolled past, and 3 second views just are people that paused and then kept scrolling. Like, so if you see the views, the main view count is 1 second views. So even when you're looking at that, like, oh, look at all the views I got. That's just how many people got given the video, not how many people actually like watched it. And the 3 second ones are really the number of people that saw it, paused, didn't like it. The 10 second ones are the ones that are actually like important, kind of thing. And I only bring that up because it's basically still followers, like it's still a vanity metric. Does anyone know off the top of their head how many followers they have or what kind of engagement they have?
I do. I wrote mine down.
Oh, star pupil, gold star.
But you'll have to think this out. So my followers is like 489 or something. So I just wrote almost 500. So story engagement is about 110. So that's about 20%, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Is it?
I think so.
So then that means, and then, so that's engagement. So the reach is 241. So then that, like,
is that your reach in the last 7 days? Do you know what that was?
I think it was 30 days.
Oh, yeah.
So then that's like, what, 48-ish people?
Yeah. I think that's really good engagement.
What interests me was the post. So the post, so that story, post engagement is varies between like 60 and 240, which is 12 to 50%. Which breaks down to like 40 to 160 people. But I spend so much more time doing stories than posts.
True, yeah.
So for me, my numbers right now are terrible, and they are genuinely terrible because if you look at my dashboard, it says negative numbers.
No, but negative numbers just means it's down from the last period of the same amount.
It is down by a lot, and I know why it's down by a lot, and it's because I haven't been putting in the work, and that's been intentional because I've been trying to focus on doing the work. So if I read it out, it's accounts engaged minus 80.5%, okay, which is like 9.
Not to interrupt you, but to interrupt you, can I just say one thing and then you can keep going with your story?
Sure.
So that plus and minus is the trashiest metric other than likes, because if you had one really good post, everything next week will be like minus 80%, minus 90%, because you went up. If you have really steady social media, great. It'll just be like up one, up one, up one. However, if you have one real good post, a viral post or anything popular, completely wrecks that plus and minus stat. You have one good post and next week they will all say minus 80. So you saying what, when you're looking at your dashboard, what time period are you looking at?
It's over the last month, but I haven't really been posting since last year. So
then sometime last month you did a post and it did good, or it did something. And then that's why it says minus 80. I just hate that. I hate that stat. Anyways, continue.
It's yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because actually, if I think about it, the fact I have shared one piece of content in the last month, which was I shared one story, and I'm still reaching accounts, which means people are still seeing old posts that I have done because I have done nothing new, no new posts. I've done one story, which was to repost something, but I've still somehow reached accounts. That's partially because people have asked me because I've been out and about and they ask me about what I'm doing. So then I tell them and then they go and have a look at stuff, which I guess just goes to show like it doesn't really matter if you have likes or not, because you can still get people inquiring about what you're doing from previous stuff you've done. And saying that, though, I should really be more consistent, and that is on the list.
Everything's always on everybody's list. Moose, what are your followers at the moment?
So my followers at the moment are 107. And I've done like a few like ads and stuff recently. So I got, in the last month, I got 178 accounts engaged.
That's so good.
Yeah. So I've been kind of like trying to experiment a bit with ads and stuff. For a while I was doing, like before I finished the Salon Success course, I was doing boosting quite a bit. But then I did realize that it did seem to get me followers, but then I was like, well, what's the point doing it really? So I've been trying to do ads like specifically for engagement, but it's kind of interesting like how having engagement means you're more likely to get more engagement.
Yes,
I have definitely noticed that since I've been specifically targeting getting more engagement over mainly Instagram stories and feed posts. Since I've been doing that, I have got more engagement from people I don't know, even like if I don't run a paid ad. So that's been quite interesting to like see that happening.
Really quickly, Moose, your content lately, you've been killing it. Absolutely. Like I have been looking at it and then going, have you seen Moose's post recently? And like, it's just cool. I think we've been talking about you in various chats. I don't even know what chats.
That's facts, because I know you've said at least to me, like, about Moose's content.
Yeah, I've been trying to kind of improve what I'm doing and like experiment with things and see what works and what doesn't. And I think that's been helpful. And it also has like shown me that being consistent is really, really important. It's also really hard.
But like, because I think with what you're saying before, Moose, about engagement breeds engagement, like people get so caught up in the idea of like they'll post three times and no one cares, and so then they stop. But the thing is, like, engagement breeds engagement, and consistency breeds engagement. You have to be there to be seen, and also the algorithm kills a post within 2 hours if it wasn't seen. So you can't just be like, well, I posted last week, I'll just wait and see if I get any followers. Like, you have to be posting regularly, and then eventually you'll get one like, and then you'll get two, and then you'll get four, and then one day, if you stay consistent, it'll be up and you'll be getting all of that engagement. But I think people give up too quickly. They don't realize that social media is like the long game. Like, you can't just post once and that's it, you're done, now you're famous.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice.
Would it though? I think it'd be kind of terrifying.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but you kind of have to follow it up, and then you'd have to, yeah.
My brother is a TikTok influencer, which is a very random thing to say. So literally when he goes out in public, people will just be like, oh, Kevin, oh, from the videos. And they literally do the same thing to his friends. They'll be like, oh, Kevin's friend. And so he tells us these stories, and I'm like, I really do not want to become a famous person, because that sounds like hell. Just walking around and people recognizing you.
It's true.
I know this isn't the point of this episode, but also your branding is really consistent. Like, I can tell it's your post when it comes up on my feed, because I can see the font and the colors, and I'm like, oh, it's Moose. And then I look and check, and I'm like, oh yeah, it is Moose. You can tell.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Been doing something right.
Before we continue on with the podcast, we just want to take a quick ad break to talk about our course, The Theory of Nails. So Theory of Nails is a prerequisite to all other courses that we do. It's online. It covers all your safety, your health and safety, but your product safety as well. All the chemistry, how to troubleshoot what goes on with your products, with your clients, with all of that stuff. Moose and Pat, you've done The Theory of Nails before. Do you have, it's sometimes better if you explain it than if I explain it, because I don't know what it is. I just made it.
Yeah. So I did it almost a year ago. It really covers all the kind of stuff you need to get started in actually being able to do nails and doing it safely. And that's really important, especially if you want to become like a nail tech and do clients for money. Keeping them safe is really important. So that's part of why it's a really good course. And it also sets you up with a lot of knowledge that you're going to use through the rest of the courses in Monaco and also other courses that you might do elsewhere. But yeah.
It's so wild, because when I'm doing clients' nails, right, I'll be saying something and I'll be like, oh, I learned that from Theory of Nails, which is pretty cool. And it sounds kind of daunting that it's like, there's an exam and you need to pass to, you know, finish. But actually you can use the exam to study, and it's a good way of being like, this was an important piece of information that I need to keep in my brain, because there is a lot of information and some of it is like just so much. And others are like, I really need to make sure that it stays in the noggin. So love studying using the exam.
Because you can reset the exam online from home every 12 hours. So that's why you can, and when you've hit submit, it tells you like what part, like a paragraph that explains the answer to everything that you missed. So that's why Pat says you can study with it. Rather than me giving you guys like a long URL for it, if you Google Monaco Nails Theory, it should pop up first. I don't know, it pops up for me. And of course, you can use Pat or Mel's codes, Patsative or Jungle Nails NZ, to get 10% off the course. So Pat, we've heard from I think, at least one student or salon owner about their experience, right? Do you have any to share?
I do have a story to share. This one is from Destiny, or Miss Manny, and she says, "Followers were definitely important to me at the start. Now I'm not so fazed because followers don't always equal bookings or clients. I've been temporarily closed for the past 4 months, but before the close, I had good engagement, nothing great, but I wasn't consistently posting and the result of that showed."
Even though my stories get less engagement, I do more stories than I do posts because I think they're funner.
I actually think, Mel, that you're really good on stories. I see them always like popping up. And with stories, to get engagement with them, it's kind of interesting because you pop up in like at the end of the list, at the start of the list, whether you are having engagement or not, I think, if that makes any sense. So it's kind of interesting to see like who's on your list popping up, and Mel is like quite often on mine and is really consistent with stories. So I think that's like a good sign for your engagement, at least.
I think, and I don't quote me if they've changed it since they changed the algorithm so often, but the more often you post, the more it bumps you to the start of everybody's list. So they always recommend that instead of doing a story like 10 stories right now, you do one story every 2 hours, and that'll keep you at the start, and then you're going to get higher engagement.
Yeah, that makes sense. See, I'm the opposite. I'll do like none, and then I'll do like 50 million in a row.
Also me, but then that's why what I started doing a few weeks ago was I'll schedule 3 posts, like 3 stories through Business Suite, separate ones for Instagram and Facebook because I don't want it samesies. But so I will schedule 3 that are spaced throughout the day, and the 3 that I schedule will be like the ad or like the more generic like evergreen content, and then I'll post live stories throughout, or one of us will post live stories throughout the day as well. And that way, if all we have is 5 minutes right now and we post 3 stories, that's fine, but there will be something spaced throughout the day to bump us back to the top of the list.
Mel, I love the fact that you share so much of yourself in your stories, and even if it's not showing up as engagement, people do look forward to seeing people's lives. Like, I know when I see you posting about your gym adventures, I'm like, ooh, and I do look forward to seeing it. I may not reply or like, especially because I usually see your stuff on Facebook, and then if I click like, it will like create a chat, and that stresses me out. So I'm just like, I'm just gonna look at it and enjoy it and not engage. But I've even had it happen to me in the past where I was like, I'm going to keep posting, blah, blah, blah. No one's replying to me. And then I stopped posting, and then and then I randomly posted again. And then someone was like, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you posting again. Da, 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 da. I really liked your X, Y, Z. What did they say? I think they just liked me talking about self-love. And I was like, oh, that is so random because no one said that to me in anything, but I stopped and then you liked it. So maybe I should keep doing that. So that's cool. So I personally like seeing your stories now. I think it's cool. And like, I think if we do the stuff that we enjoy, like you said, stories are funner for you, then you'll keep doing it. But if we force ourselves to do things we don't like, and we just kind of like have to do that, then you might not do it at all. And then, you know, Penny's been saying consistency is the key. So let's just do things that we will be consistent at.
That's such a good point, though, to make it fun, because that's the whole reason that we stopped doing the podcast for so long, was because it stopped being fun for me live streaming it at a specific time every week, and having to feel like I wanted to be on camera and having to be available at that time, and then wanting to be consistent in that way. Whereas this way, now we're batching content and recording a couple of episodes at a time, and doing it in a way where we don't feel like we have to look ready to be on camera. And if we're in a bad mood, we don't have to do it. And so like by doing it in a way that wasn't fun for me, we ended up inconsistent. Now doing it in a way that feels fun, we can be consistent. And just because like, okay, a live stream on Facebook does really well and gets lots of engagement, but actually it doesn't get lots of engagement if you stop doing it because it's not fun.
People see like the real you, what you're doing, like, in your life. Like, people come, I think maybe it goes back to the engagement thing. People come because of you and your personality and your life, not just, oh, she does good nails. Like,
yeah, and people get too focused on doing everything, like, perfectly. But I, like, our stuff is all pretty conversational. And, like, on the podcast, I will, like, swear, or I'll, like, say little bits. I've said to every class when I used to teach the live classes, I'd start my intros being like, look, I'm going to swear. I'm really sorry if it offends you, but me taking time to stop and think about filtering myself is going to take out the, like, spark. When I get, like, fired up and passionate about something, you're going to want me to be interesting and passionate about something, not thinking about whether or not I need to not say, like, shit. So, but then the thing is that if we put out content like this podcast where that's my opinion, it's also going to weed out people that don't like that. And then we're going to build a community, and we have built a community that is people who we want to spend time with. Like, Mel, you were saying, like, earlier about how, like, you were joking, who wouldn't want to be friends with us? That's because we've built a group of people that are all, we all have similar, like, morals, values, things. And there'll be people that disagree. People will be like, well, actually, I enrolled in Monaco's course because it had a good reputation, but I really hate when Penny swears. Fine. There's going to be some people like that. But, like, just the making sure that stuff is fun for you will get you more engagement, will get you more bookings, rather than being perfect and doing what you're supposed to do to get followers.
Totally. And if anyone is, like, thinking, oh my gosh, this is really interesting, I want to learn more, you should go back to one of the previous podcast episodes. I can't remember which one. If I figure it out, I will send it to Penny to put in the show notes. But essentially, she talks about, you know, your perfect client avatar. And then she's going to talk about spaghetti on the wall. By the way, I am spaghetti on the wall, but I am cool spaghetti. So it's okay if you are not the spaghetti that you wanted, and somehow you ended up on the wall. If you're like, that makes zero sense, Pat, Penny made it make sense. Go back to the previous episode. Start from the beginning. Binge watch. You can do it on a road trip, because nerdy people do that. Cool nerdy people do that. We did that on a road trip. Many.
Yeah, they were sending me photos of them listening to the Salon Success podcast on the Bluetooth with, like, 5 nail techs in the car. And all I could say was, like, you losers. Put some music cool losers on. Yeah, cool. Well, you were on your way to visit me, I think, so
it makes sense. Also, it's good conversation fodder. Like, you just start, nah, nah, nah. Oh my gosh, that makes sense.
I think it's really interesting how this whole podcast episode is likes are a vanity metric, because all we've talked about is engagement. Like, so that we're proving it. The fact that, like, we have an entire podcast around likes, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about needing engagement and how much engagement affects what we do. And, like, even every time we bring the conversation back to likes and followers, we then talk about engagement.
Yeah, engagement's way more fun though, right? It's so much more fun to go, oh, blah blah blah, message me from that story, instead of like, 5 people liked it.
Yeah,
so much more fun to be engaged with your people and, like, attract the people like you that, you know, either going through the same journey like me with the fitness thing. Like, I'm not fit. If you can't see me, I'm not fit, but I've been going to the gym.
You're fitter than you used to be.
New people into my life. Like,
you're fitter than people who just sit on the couch and blob. So, like me. Do not sell yourself short.
I think it's kind of like when you focus on engagement rather than followers, it's not only like the platform is kind of supporting you into more engagement, but it's actually motivating for you as well to keep doing those things that drives engagement. And it's kind of, it feels good to have, like, your experience kind of working together with the platforms you're on and bringing them to your clients or the people who are looking at your work. Yeah.
Back in the day, we used to do, like, a giveaway for every 100 followers that we hit. And it was this whole big thing to be like, oh my God, we got 100 followers. Oh my God, we got 200 followers. I literally just had to look up how many followers we have because it's become so irrelevant that I don't know. But I can tell you how many people have liked the most popular and the least popular posts from the last week.
I know when I started, I was like, oh my God, they've got so many and I've only got this many. Like, how can I get more? And
yeah, I think also it's like, it almost seems easier to get followers because when you're looking at engagement, there's so many different ways you can get people to engage, like on stories, you can do like polls. And I've like found those really helpful with engagement. But to get followers, it seems easier because the only thing you really need to do, in my mind at least, is I find a person, do something they like, and then they'll follow. But there's no like follow up to that. Like, what do I do with them then? But if you're focusing on engagement, it's kind of like rolling. Like you keep people engaging and you keep you're like cultivating your audience and your people who are kind of interested in your journey, as well as just getting followers. Yeah.
On that note, okay, who here, raise your hand, has followed
a podcast cat?
Oh yeah, we're a podcast. Okay, say I. Is that what they say? I. Okay, so anyone here, say I. Just say yes, whatever. Say yes. Have you actually done this? Followed a pages because of a competition or a giveaway, and you were like, yeah, I'm gonna like your post, whatever, and I'm gonna share and engage, and then immediately after you found out you didn't win, you immediately unliked and unfollowed them.
Meaning, I have done it actually, yeah, problems.
Which I think just goes to show and proves our point, right? Like, what's the point of all these fake likes if people don't actually genuinely don't want to be part of your community? They don't really vibe with your brand. They only want your free shit. And you don't necessarily want them to have it. So I think a cool example of a way to get that engagement is we've got Katie from Prim Improper Nails. So she is a Monaco student and she does nail stickers, nail foils. And the way she does her engagement for her website, because she's a supplier, is to encourage people to do reviews. She does a giveaway, but the way she does her giveaway is smart. It's only for people who have genuinely bought her products and posted on her website, which is way more meaningful than, you know, just random Joe blogs down the street liking your page, which is super smart. And I'm like, oh, you could kind of do that with maybe if certain people like left a review on your whatever. I don't know where I'm going with that, but I just think it's really smart that she, because if she has more people reviewing on her website, then it's more likely for people to buy, and then more people buy, then they can put a review and just adds on. So it's like built into her advertising budget if she has one. So I don't know, I thought that was genius. So you smart girl, you a smart lady.
Also though, and now following all of the compliments that you gave Katie, this like sounds super braggy, but I was really proud of myself this morning because so the Monaco, just spoiler alert, like, but we're talking in the last episode, it's not a spoiler, it's the last episode, but we were talking about how Monaco Nail Academy was, the salon name was Monaco, and I kept it for the academy when training took off because that page had the most followers and I wanted to keep the followers for the school. So Monaco had like 14,000 Facebook followers, right? So I kept it. But also, again, I'm on a tangent now, but I'll get there. So however, those followers were people that wanted to get nails done or liked nails. When I kept those followers for a nail tech school, our engagement went down. And at the time I didn't really like know enough to know that that's what was happening and the algorithms were changing and stuff like that. But like our engagement compared to our followers is rubbish because they're not there to, half of them have probably hit it or they just never engage, so they never see it. Like they're just empty followers, but I can't really clean them out in any way. So we just have 14,000 followers and that sounds impressive, but then our engagement does not compare to that number because those people did not like the page for that purpose, which is not super relevant unless you guys are going to turn your pages into something different, but like still it proves our point. But what I was going to say is that I'm really impressed with myself because I have been working really hard on our marketing and social media and consistency and like living what I preach and stuff over the last couple of months. And this morning I wrote our email newsletter thing and I was really proud of how it went and I filled it with links and blah, blah, blah. And I sent it out. And then I had this genius, this is where it gets super braggy, this genius idea that I posted on Facebook. And what made me think of it was what you were saying, Pat, about like the shitty giveaways. I posted on Facebook and I was like, giveaway for a $50 website voucher because I didn't know what to give away. And I was just like, well, then they can get what they want. All you have to do is open the email, click any of the links, and then comment below with a screenshot of the link that you followed, and then you're in the draw for $50. I can repeat this giveaway like weekly if I really want to, but I probably won't because then it gets boring, but I might do it like once a month. But what I'm getting out of it is I've not posted anywhere except to Facebook. Like I've scheduled posts for this evening to other places to be like, hey, there's a giveaway over here, but I've done nothing so far. But there are 8 comments on our page, which has like fairly low engagement. We get lots of likes, but less comments as I build the engagement back up. But from this one thing, I'm getting people opening the email, which gives you good stats, clicking the email, which gives you good stats, and then engaging in comments, which are high value on Facebook, which gives you good stats. And I'm so proud of myself for thinking of doing that. I'm also really mad that I've never done it before, but I'm really pleased with how it's going. And then, yeah, it's like ties in with the engagement thing, but also hilariously ties in with you, Pat, being like, screw competitions. But it's different because I'm not asking people to like. I'm not asking for followers just so that they can unfollow. Even if they don't follow, it's still good.
I think you're proving the point, though, that this is actually a genuinely good strategy, whereas lots of people make up these cool giveaways. Like, they're giving away cool stuff, but they're not making the most of what they have to offer. And you're like, this is stuff I can give away that people want, and I'm actually getting something out of it that's not just an empty like. So that's genius.
Oh, thanks. I agree. This, I will put myself down plenty of times, but I was really impressed with my brain when it thought of that at 6 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, that, like, hearing you talk about it also, it is, like, motivating for me. I'm like, oh, I gotta go find that post and, like, open the email and look at all the links.
So, yes, you do.
I think it's, like, it makes sense and it's effective. But I also just wanted to ask, like, what, like, when you're on social media, like, what drives you engaging with a post?
Well, I hate social media. When Pat was like, how many of you have followed a thing for a competition and then unfollowed? I was like, nope. I mean, like, I very rarely will participate in a giveaway because I can't be bothered. But also if I do, then I'll stay following them because I don't go on enough to even remember to unfollow them. So it takes a lot to get me to engage, but really it's just hashtag can relate. Like, if I can relate to the post, then I'm going to be like, ha, so funny, yes, like that, share that, like, stuff like that. But I don't have Instagram at all. Monaco and Hard Lacquer have Instagram, but I only use them through Business Suite. I don't have Instagram. I don't have Facebook on my phone at all. I have it on my laptop, but it's usually set as the Monaco profile. And then every like few days I'll be like, oh crap, I should check my Facebook, and I'll go over to my one. But I pretty much never scroll through. I look like at maybe the first 5 or maybe 10 posts before I get bored and click off. And it's mostly because the first 5 or 10 posts are going to be my friends that have kids that I want to see what cute dumb stuff their toddler did that day. So I'm a terrible example. And like, I love social media from the back end. I don't like social media for my own self. It doesn't do my brain any good. Scrolling hurts my brain.
Yeah, it does for me as well. But
I love social media. I love it so much. I can spend hours scrolling and commenting and replying and reacting and talking to people on social media, because for me, I use it to build community around myself. So I've made so many friends through social media. I've reconnected with old friends. I've made money on social media. So I just really like it. And my husband is constantly threatening to throw out my phone because I am glued to it and constantly on Instagram or Facebook. And I used to be on TikTok. And I used to get engagement on there because I would post about my Tereo Māori journey, which was really cool. But that terrified me because I was like, I don't want to become an influencer. So I uninstalled my TikTok because I was like, please do not go viral. Because I was literally getting random people messaging me and being like, I saw your blah, blah, blah. Your Pepeha is so cool. And I was like, nope, I'm out. This is not for me. So again, it's the whole do you even want to be famous thing. But anyway, I just, what gets me to interact and engage with the post is if I feel like a person is being authentic and genuine and they're actually sharing something that I think is interesting and like I'm learning something, even if it's like just a funny thing, like that can get me to like it or like haha react. If people ask questions, I love to engage with those. But if I feel like it's super corporate and bland and like, okay, clearly someone's boring Aunt Joe. I don't know why Aunt is named Joe. But, you know, if someone just makes something really bland, I'm not really that interested and I'll just scroll on past. And I think that just goes to show social media is all about personality. So if you're the kind of person who just likes flashy, attention-grabbing stuff, then that's the kind of thing you'll engage with. But somebody else might just be like, I really like text posts because I want to like write a dissertation. I don't know. There are some like older folks who probably just, oh no, but they're all on LinkedIn. That's where they go. The people who want to write like 500 words, they're on LinkedIn replying to each other.
They're in the comments of stuff.co.nz.
They're also there. Yeah. True. I'm not in either of those places.
I will say, like, I love social media, and that's why I'm not on it, because I hate what it does to my time and my brain. And like when you're saying you could scroll for hours, 100%, but then I know that I won't sleep as well, and like whatever, I love it. But also, like, you also said about making money on social media, and it reminded me, I had this friend who used to always make fun of me for being on my phone all the time. He'd be like, are you working still? And I'd be like, yeah. And he'd make fun of me for how much I was on it. And I was like, okay, wait, but it's a game. You guys are all, okay, this ages me, but, like, it was the time when everyone was playing Farmville, and I don't know what people play now. But I was like, you guys are all on Farmville for, like, 3 hours a day. Like, you're sitting on your commute on Farmville and your lunch break, you're like, check your farm and all this crap. I am also playing a game, but my game makes me money. My game is to get engagement and like comment with people and like scroll my actual work page so that I can engage with other people so that then they engage with me. Like, and then instead of getting points or dollars or whatever BS you get on Farmville or whatever else crap that people play now, like I'm getting money and I'm getting followers or engagement, or like I'm getting stats. They're rewarding me. I'm still leveling up. It's just I get paid to play this game and you're buying micro purchases. Like you're giving money and I'm getting it.
I'm kind of in the middle. Like I like social media, but I also hate social media, especially being a parent. Like if I see someone and their kids are perfectly dressed and they're like off in their fancy car to the restaurant, all of that, I'll scroll past that. I don't care about that. But if I see someone saying, oh my God, these kids driving me insane today, I can't handle it, I'll be like, same girl, same. Like I'll relate to that. Perfectness, not for me. That image that it can create, that this is how you should parent or this is how you should look or anything like that, that's what I hate about social media. The image.
Oh yeah, I don't like that.
It's unattainable, like it's unrealistic.
I think that like Instagram especially has always been like a bit about that. Like, you hear people talk about like the highlight reel. But I think like as everyone kind of gets more and more used to like being on social media, people want to see less and less of that. Because they are like searching for authenticity. Especially, you know, a lot of the time people use social media to be social and like build communities and like have friends and stuff. And if that's your aim, you don't want it to be a highlights reel necessarily. Like, you want to add some of your highlights, but you also want to keep yourself like relatable and work on like the connections instead of just like look how awesome I am.
Totally. And it comes back to the like thing, right? Like, if you have 20 likes and only one person is like relating to you, what's the point of those other 19 people? Like, there's literally no point for them to be there.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard of people keeping like the bots on their pages just to boost their numbers. I'm like, ugh, as soon as I see like a weird name and they've got no posts, I'm like, block, delete, get lost, like, get off my page.
Oh, that's such a good point, because it will drive down your engagement numbers if you have all those weird bots. Also, they like send so many creepy spammy stuff.
Yeah.
And like, no, I don't want a sugar daddy. How many so many sugar daddy posts, and it's like, go away, don't need a sugar daddy. This has brought back a memory for me from like way back, like in 2010 or something, when I used to do social media for like this company, and I didn't know anything, so I don't remember how I ended up getting paid for this. And I would literally be like, oh well, I guess I'm just gonna get them some free followers. And then I would do the whole like for like thing. They used to have like websites dedicated to that, and then you would just go like a bunch of posts or pages, and then they would like you back, and it would just be random people. And honestly, what a waste of time. Like, I feel so bad that I got paid for that, because those random people, they wouldn't want to engage with this company. I'm not even gonna name who it was, because they'll be like, what the hell. It means nothing, because it's like, are they even in the same country as this business? Because if they're not, and this it's a service, then how are they going to even like interact with you in a meaningful way, you know? So yeah,
I've seen reels do it. Everyone who follow or likes this post, I'll follow, and people still do it.
But why? I don't know.
Yeah, those people do not know what they're doing.
They haven't done salon success.
Oh, plug.
Like, I never used to either. Well, I still don't really, but you know, we're working.
You do.
We're working on it.
I think as well, like, just kind of off topic, but like, because we do need to wrap this up soon. I think like you're allowed to be excited when you hit a follower's milestone. Like, if you hit 100 followers, 1,000 followers, 10,000 followers, you're allowed to be excited. But only if you're actually also like paying attention to engagement, like, because no one checks your followers before they book. But like, if they are the 20th person to comment, or even the sixth person to comment, that is impressive. Like, oh, whoa, look at all these people. Okay, comment. And it's like a little subconscious, like, oh, whoa. Like, they're not thinking about it later while they're cooking dinner, but like, it's still a good impression. But no one is looking at your number of followers, because no one's making it that far through your profile. They're just on your post. So that's not making you money. And then if I try and think about other arguments for followers, like if you think about someone like Selena Ryden, who has bazillions of followers, they are opening doors for her with her own line and like with all the stuff that she does, but only because they're also engaging. Like, the followers don't mean anything unless you also have engagement. So you can be excited. You can celebrate follower milestones. It's still, vanity is still vanity. There's a reason that we think about how we look or how we appear to other people, because vanity is still vanity. Just don't make it your number one priority.
You can have 10 followers and still have a successful business. So.
Any final thoughts before we wrap this up, ladies?
Like we just said, don't focus on it. Like, yeah, celebrate it. It's cool. But It's not the most important thing in your journey.
It's not making anybody money.
No.
Yeah, my last thing is, like, try and, like, find ways to focus on engagement that can be fun for you and that you can feel, like, creative and fulfilled with. Because, I mean, like, there's a lot of work that you put in that won't give you, like, massive, like, a massive result straight away, but it's like the hill, and you gotta climb it. But if you can do it in a way that, like, you enjoy, it's gonna be a lot easier to keep up for the long term.
Yeah,
and definitely. My last thing is that it's all about building the right community around you. You want to attract the people you actually want to be working with, or, you know, doing clients. Because there's no point in you having 500 people who you think are going to be absolute cows coming into your salon. You know, you'll want to hang out with the cool people who think you're cool. And I guess you want to even actually drive away the people who you think won't be a good fit for you. So the likes, I guess, don't matter as much as it is that it's the right people who are being in your space and commenting and liking and reacting and just generally caring about who you are as a person and hopefully sending some money your way.
Yes, because even though we keep referencing it, that's what we're here for. Speaking of making money, just before we wrap up, I want to take a quick minute to remind you about our course, The Theory of Nails, which you can find really easily Googling Monaco Nails Theory rather than me giving you a long URL. It's a really good way, even if you've been a nail tech forever, to brush up on old information or like stuff that you learned in your course, or maybe your course didn't even cover stuff like that, and everybody will learn something, I swear. You can use Mel or Pat's codes as they fight to the death. Mel, yours is
Jungle Nails NZ.
Pat.
Patative.
Moose has still got it on her list to get one. And with that done and dusted, before you disappear, like our page or follow the podcast so that you don't miss the next episode. Next episode, what are we covering, ladies?
Pricing. Clients paying what you're asking. Do they say you're too cheap, expensive? Do they compare you? Da 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 da.
Oh, that'll be a goodie. And I think we have one of our other mentors joining us for that one as well. So there'll be a fresh voice and opinion for you guys to hear next week. But until then, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Monaco Nail Academy, or follow our salons. Mine is Hard Lacquer NZ. Pat?
Patative Beauty.
Moose?
Moomoo Cat Nails.
And Mel?
And mine's Jungle Nails NZ.
Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.